We know the end of this week is going to be Chodesh Nisan, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan we begin to start collecting for Kimcha de Pischa. And I was wondering, what exactly is the origin of this minhag? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, speak about this. So let us begin as follows. As we know, every year, as this time of year comes around, we have a special collection. Even though we collect tzedakah all year long, we have some sort of very unusual collection for the mitzvahs of Pesach. And we try to give out money that people can afford Dalet Kosas, Matzah, Maror, to have a Seder like a mensch, and to celebrate the entire duration of Pesach. So the Ramah quotes this in the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tav Chav Tes, and he writes, Uminhag liknos chitim, we have a practice that we buy wheat, ulachalkan la'aniyim letzarach ha-Pesach, and we give them out to the aniyim, to the poor people, in order that they should be able to celebrate Pesach, v'chal mi shadar be'ir yudbeis chodesh, Tzarech litein lazeh. Anyone who lives in the community for at least 12 months, and you now consider yourself to be a resident, has an obligation, says the Ramah, to contribute to this matzah fund, has an obligation to give to this kimcha de pischa for the local residents of our community. So writes the Ramah, the same way we have an obligation as a community to build a mikveh, to build a shul, to build a school, and everything else that a community decides that they need, so too we have an obligation as a community to pay a tax which is going to be specifically designated for those who cannot afford to make Pesach on their own. And the Mishnah Berurah there comments in Siman Tav Chav Tes, Hu minhag kadum mizman ha-Gemara. This is an age-old practice that already started in the days of the Gemara. V'hu var davar zeh b'Yerushalmi parakama de Baba Basra. And he writes that this is already quoted in the Yerushalmi in Maseches Baba Basra. Now the question is, how do we really understand this? We have a mitzvah of tzedakah all year long. And suddenly when it comes to Pesach, it seems that we have some additional level of obligation. So how is this really to be understood? So there were some Achronim who said that really the way we understand this is that it is not at all the same as tzedakah. Tzedakah is one account. And we have an obligation to give tzedakah throughout the year and perhaps to give meiser 10%. That's something that we have an obligation to do. However, when it comes to kimcha de pischa, it seems that this is a separate tax, this is a separate idea, a separate obligation that we have. So the Makar Chaim, which is the Nesivos HaMishpat, writes a commentary on Hilchos Pesach. He says, Chitim shal Pesach midina demasein. It's like a tax on the community. And therefore he says, Shona iker geder chiyuvan mi mitzvah hatzdaka. This is different from the way we understand our obligation of regular charity throughout the year. That is the way that the Makar Chaim explains this, and the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, why is this unique to Pesach? What happened on Pesach that suddenly we have this special obligation to go out of our way to provide for everybody in the neighborhood? Why shouldn't we say that the same mitzvah of tzedakah that we have throughout the year should apply on Pesach? And to the contrary, if we assume that on Pesach there's a very specific halacha that you have to help people celebrate the Yom Tov of Pesach, why don't we find the same obligation by Shavuos and Sukkos as well? V'samachta b'chagecha is an equal obligation, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So why should there be a difference? Why should we assume that this practice only applies by Pesach, whereas we don't find such a practice by the celebration of Sukkos? And the answer that is given by the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion is that the answer to explain why Pesach is different than every other Yom Tov is ve'efshar. To mishum ze tiknu kadmonenu bePesach yoser mishar regalim lechalik la'aniim letzarach haPesach. Why did they go out of their way and say we have an obligation on Pesach more so than Shavuos and Sukkos to go and provide for others? Is because it is a zman cheirus, because this Yom Tov is a time when we're supposed to express our sense of freedom, and a free person is a person who has the ability to enjoy life. And therefore writes the Mishnah Berurah, this is a time when we're supposed to feel like free people, v'yoshvin u'mesubim kol echad hu u'beisa berov simcha, and we're supposed to sit and be mesameach and be happy. Ein ze kavod la Hashem, writes the Mishnah Berurah, this would not be respectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheha'aniyim yir re'evim u'tzmeim, that those of us who are needy in the community will not have what we need to have that sense of expression of cheirus, to have that sense of simcha on Pesach, a sense of yoshvin u'mesubim, that we're able to sit comfortably and enjoy life. Therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, this is why, in particular, when it came to Pesach, they had this very age-old practice of making sure that all of the aniyim would be provided for, and perhaps more so than every other Yom Tov, more so than any other obligation of tzedakah throughout the rest of the year. Now, there's a beautiful pshat of Rav Meir Prima Shlana. He was one of the foremost Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. I quoted something from him this morning, not connected to this, but there's something that he comments on here in the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, and he says, the Shulchan Aruch opens up, he addresses the halacha of Pesach by saying the following, Shalom b'Hilchos HaPesach Kodem LePesach Lamed Yom. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the very first halacha is, for the 30 days before Pesach, meaning starting from Purim, you have an obligation to start preparing yourself to know and understand all of the halachas that govern the holiday of Pesach. We have so much that we need to be aware of, and therefore we need 30 days in advance. On the spot, suggests the Ramah, and usually the Ramah is commenting on something that the Shulchan Aruch just said. He's giving over his disagreement sometimes, he's giving over something that he thinks will help augment whatever it is that the Shulchan Aruch just said, and here the Ramah adds something that seems to have nothing at all to do with Pesach. He says, "Uminig liknos chitin lechalik le'aniyim letzarach haPesach." The Ramah comments on the Shulchan Aruch and he says, "Well, you're saying we have to go ahead and study the laws of Pesach for 30 days. I think that we need to start collecting for those who are in need on Pesach, and to give it out to those people in order that they should be able to celebrate." So what is this all about? Says Rav Meir Primishlana. The Shulchan Aruch says, like a rabbi, he says, what you need to do is, 30 days before, you have to start thinking about how we're going to celebrate Pesach, what we're going to do, and how exactly we're going to go about kashering our kitchen, and which products we're allowed to have, and what we're going to do in terms of matzah and maror and baking. All of that is what the Shulchan Aruch says is the most important obligation that you have before Pesach. And says the Ramah, you have it all wrong. That is secondary. The most important halacha about Pesach is to first make sure that every member of your community is provided for. And the Ramah jumps on the Shulchan Aruch immediately and he says, you started with the wrong halacha. You introduced the halacha of Pesach inappropriately. And the Ramah says, perhaps the first thing that should have been mentioned is, we as a community have an obligation to provide for our own. We as a community have an obligation to make sure that every member of our community will feel that sense of chayrus, will appreciate what it means to celebrate the holiday of Pesach, and therefore the Ramah says, this is why I feel that this is even more critical than learning the halachas of Pesach. So you get something wrong. Unfortunately, we don't always have the opportunity to do everything 100% right, but not when it comes to members of our community. That, says the Ramah, is what's more critical than any other halacha that the Shulchan Aruch will discuss, and therefore he feels the very first line that he's going to put into Hilchos Pesach is that you have to make sure that everybody is provided for and everybody has the opportunity to enjoy a Pesach, which leads to a general question. And I think there's a very fundamental question here that we need to ask ourselves. We have a concept in halacha referred to as ones rachmana patri. If a person, say for example, ends up in the hospital and they have to have a surgery, and as a result of them being confined to a bed and on whatever medications they are, they're not able to daven, or they're not able to put on tefillin, or you're not able to keep Shabbos because you're in the army and you're doing some kind of mission. Maybe that's not a good example, it's pikuach nefesh, but whatever it might be. You're not able to do a certain mitzvah for a given reason. You're not able to have a bris milah because you're a hemophiliac. We have a halacha that in all these cases, ones rachmana patri. You're not going to be punished for not putting on tefillin. You're not going to be punished for not davening. You won't be punished for not keeping Shabbos and not having a bris milah. After all, we assume you were an onus. It was no fault of your own that you couldn't perform the mitzvah. There was some other circumstance that presented itself that was not able to avail you the opportunity to do the mitzvah that you very much wanted to do. And therefore the question we need to ask ourselves is, when we come to the mitzvah of Pesach, for example, why would we assume that somebody who has no money, he's an ani, hamachazer al apsachim, he's a poor man who goes peddling around the neighborhood collecting money in order to eat every day of his life, why would we assume that such a person has an obligation to have matzah and maror and dalet kosas on the night of the Seder? He doesn't have any money. He should be an onus, like the person who had a surgery and can't put on tefillin, like the person who for whatever reason can't keep Shabbos and can't daven. This person should be the same. I don't have any money. Who said that we have an obligation to provide money for someone in order that they should be able to do the mitzvah? So if you don't have money, you don't do the mitzvah. You're an onus. What does God want from me? How can God expect more of me? And that is the question that many Acharonim are bothered with. In fact, if you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about our obligation of giving charity, of giving tzedakah, the Rambam seems to say that it's a very limited obligation that we have. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Mitzvah saseh litein tzedakah kefi ma sheroi la'ani. We have to give tzedakah based on the needs of this person. Im ein loksus, if he doesn't have clothing, mechasenoso, we have to give him clothing. Im ein lo bayis, if he doesn't have a home, if he's just a homeless person and his family's out on the streets, Konan lo bayis, we have to go out of our way and raise the money in order that you should live under a roof. And the Rambam goes on and on to explain that every item that a person might be lacking in life, we have an obligation as the chiyuv of tzedakah to provide that person with. And nowhere in that list does the Rambam say, and if he can't buy dalad minim for sukkahs, we have to go pay for him. And nowhere does he say, if he can't afford a pair of tefillin, we need to buy for him. That's not part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. You look in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudea Simen Reish Nun, which describes all of the details and particulars of giving charity throughout the year. There he writes, Imhu Ra'av, if somebody is hungry, and you see that he hasn't eaten in a long time, Yachileyu, part of our mitzvah of tzedakah is, we need to provide him with food. Hayat Sarach Lichsus, if he needs clothing, Yechaseyu. Ein lo klei bayis, let's say he has a house, but he cannot afford furniture, he doesn't have a mattress, he doesn't have a bed, in that case, we buy him all of those klei abayis. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on and on. But once again, we find that the Shulchan Aruch leaves out. What if he can't buy a pair of tefillin? What if he can't buy dalad minim? What if he can't afford all the regular things that every other religious family has? We don't seem to have an obligation to provide it. And the reason why is because ones rachmana patri. If you have an ones, for whatever reason you cannot afford it, you don't have money, you tried your best, so you can't do it. And we, it seems, don't have an obligation to provide you with those mitzvah items. So the Bir Halacha surprisingly writes in Hilchos Chanukah, if a person cannot afford to buy their own Neiros Chanukah, for whatever reason, you don't have any money, he says the Gabayim have to go around the town and collect money in order that this person should be able to light Neiros Chanukah. Why? Why do we have a mitzvah here by Neiros Chanukah that you have to go and provide him for the mitzvah? If he doesn't have, he doesn't have. He's an anus. And once again, on Leil HaSeder, by Pesach, we have an obligation, like the Shulchan Aruch says, of Kimcha de Pischa. Why should I have to provide someone with matzah and marah and dalad kosas and everything else that they need? After all, if I don't have it, I should be an anus, and I should have no obligation at all. This is a very problematic issue that many of the Achronim try to figure out how to deal with it. And in fact, some Achronim actually bring an interesting proof from the Gemara Meseches Ksubas. The Gemara says, Yasam v'yisama shebo li nase. If you have two orphans, a boy and a girl whose parents have passed away, and both of them want to get married. The problem is, they don't have any money to get married. They don't have money to sustain themselves. They don't have money to make a wedding. Masiyin es hayisama v'achar kach es hayasam. The Gemara says, you first collect money for the girl to get married, and then you collect money for her brother to get married. Even though both of them are engaged, both of them are prepared to get married, and everything should be the same, we say that you first have to collect the money for the girl, and only afterward do you collect the money for the boy. Why? Says the Gemara, because her busha is meruba mishel ha'ish. The girl is going to be far more humiliated staying single than the guy would be. And therefore the Gemara says that is the determining factor. We would assume that because of that embarrassment, you have an obligation to first provide money for the man, and then to provide money for the woman of the family. Now the question that the Achronim ask is, one of them has an obligation of pruvu. A male is obligated to have children and to try to procreate, to bring children into the world. A woman does not share in that obligation. So I would have said, if you're going to collect money for one of them, it should be for the boy. After all, he has an obligation to do the mitzvah puravu, and this is the only way it's going to happen. And yet the Gemara seems to overlook that factor, and we say, no, you look at a totally different set of consideration. We assume you go and provide for the woman first, because after all, mipnei shebushasa meruba mishel ha'ish, because she's going to be more humiliated than the man if she doesn't get married. What kind of consideration is that? If we have a mitzvah, and somebody doesn't have the ability to provide for that mitzvah that they need to do, shouldn't we say that we, as a communal obligation, have to make sure that they have whatever they need to be able to do that mitzvah? And the Achronim say it would seem from there that we don't have such an obligation. And if somebody cannot afford to do a mitzvah, so that's an ones, and they don't have an obligation to perform it. What can they do? Life circumstances turned out that way, and it's not their fault, and they were best of intentions, but sometimes things don't work out. So therefore, one has to wonder, why is it that when it comes to Pesach, and like the Mishnah Berurah writes, when it comes to Chanukah suddenly, we have this obligation to provide money for people to do a mitzvah. Why shouldn't I say that the same rule applies? If somebody cannot provide for their own mitzvah, they are exempt. That's an ones. Ein lecha ones gadol mizeh. If I can't buy a pair of tefillin, I can't buy dalad minim, I can't afford dalad kosas, and I can't afford matzah and mar, so I won't do the mitzvah. What does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me? Why do we have to put the community out and make ourselves give money to this person? And as we said, it's not because of the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's something that's on top of the mitzvah of tzedakah, why should this be something that we have an obligation to do, and we don't generally assume that onus rachmana patri would apply in this very circumstance?